Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Preachers have an important place to fill with respect to lost souls. God saw fit to use them in making His gospel known, which is the power of God to save men. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So we see that we're told that it's God's plan to save men by preaching. This plan may seem foolish, and it's often called the foolishness of preaching, but it is God's plan. Remember that it is the foolishness of preaching that God chose and not the preaching of foolishness. We might conclude that some have misunderstood God's plan and have used the preaching of foolishness instead of the foolishness of preaching. But in order for God's plan to be carried out, preaching must be done. And preaching must be done by preachers. So preachers have an important place to fill. In harmony with this idea, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, "How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Well, in view of these statements, we should not minimize the work of a gospel preacher. We must not lose sight of the fact that preachers are required to preach the gospel. Since the gospel is God's power unto salvation, the gospel must be preached by the preacher. If the preacher preaches something else, he's going contrary to the will of God, and what he preaches will not result in the salvation of those who are listening. In fact, God pronounces condemnation upon the preacher who preaches that which is contrary to divine truth. In Galatians 1, verse 8, we read this statement from the pen of the Apostle Paul. "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, friends, this places a great responsibility upon me and upon every preacher who would preach the gospel of Christ, for the condemnation of God is upon the preacher who presents theories and doctrines of men instead of the gospel of Christ as delivered by the apostles. Now, preachers are looked upon as leaders of men, and that they should be. As preachers are spiritual leaders of men, they're expected to know more about the Bible than any other class of men. This is but the natural thing to expect. For preachers should study the Bible. They should be acquainted with the truths that are presented therein. And they need to be qualified in presenting the Word. When you have some questions that trouble your soul, something about the Bible that you wish to know, often men turn to the preacher for help. And if it's something that is found in the Bible, he should be willing to give his assistance. Or if it's not found in the Bible, he should be able to tell you so. This is the reason I've selected for our study this afternoon the topic, "Ask Your Preacher." Several years ago, a gospel preacher friend handed me a list of things that was under the title, "Ask Your Preacher." And I believe it was a series of lessons that were presented on a radio station out in a western state. But anyway, I have some questions that I want to present to you this afternoon that maybe you would like to present to your preacher to find out just what the Bible says. These questions are important questions. They're questions that maybe you've often thought about, or certainly questions that your preacher should be willing to help you find an answer to them. So you might want to take a pen and paper and write down some of them as we go along. Okay, here's the first. Number one, ask your preacher where you can find the name of your church in the Bible. I do not know the name of the church to which you belong, for I do not know who is listening to me right at this moment. But doubtless many churches are represented among the listeners today. You know what church you're a member of, if any, and you know the name of the church. So just go to your preacher and ask him to give you the book, chapter, and verse from the Bible that mentions your church. If it is there, he'll certainly know where to find it. If it's not there, you have a right to know it. So ask him to help you. I've read the language of Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, in which he addressed the church of God, which is at Corinth. And when he made his farewell address to the elders at Ephesus, he made this statement, found in Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, in these two passages, we have reference to the church of God. Then Paul wrote Timothy after this manner, If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. And here, reference is made again to the church of God, the church of the living God. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said in Romans 16:16, The churches of Christ salute you. In the section from which Paul was writing, there were a number of congregations, and they were sending their greetings to the church in Rome. Thus Paul said, The churches of Christ salute you. It is an evident fact, if a number of congregations were called churches of Christ, one of them would be a church of Christ. Taking all of these scriptures together, we read of the church of the living God, the church of God, the church of Christ, not three different organizations, just different names for the very same congregation, the same thing. And these were not different religious bodies, simply different designations for the same group of people. It is possible to read anywhere in the Bible of any mention of the name of the church to which you belong. This is an important matter, for the Bible is our guide. It is a guidebook from earth to heaven. And we should not want to belong to something that the Bible says absolutely nothing about. So again, I say, ask your preacher to help you find the name of your church in the Bible. He should not become offended if you ask this as a favor of him. And then a second question, ask your preacher where the Bible says the church is not necessary to salvation. So many times the statement is made that the church does not save you. Of course, we know that the church is not the Savior. Jesus is our Savior, but the statement as used simply means the church is not necessary to your salvation, and that you can be saved on the outside as well as on the inside. Now, you have likely heard your preacher make statements along this line, and as he is your teacher in spiritual things, he should be glad for you to want to know where to find any such statement. Do you not look upon him as a Bible teacher? I believe certainly you do. And then if there is any such statement in the Bible, he should know where it is. Or if he does not, it should not take him but a little while to find it out for you. I've read the statement of Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 23, many times. That verse says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Now, if you'll read the verses that follow in this chapter, you will very plainly see that the term body refers to the church. So Christ is the Savior of the church. This statement could not be true if he saves men out of the church and before they enter the church. In that case, he would be the Savior of men out of the church, but not the Savior of the church. Yet Paul says he is the Savior of the body, which is the church. And if the Lord saves one man out of the church, he evidently could save all men out of the church. And thus every person goes into the church is saved before he enters it. Then how could Jesus be the Savior of the church? It just wouldn't be possible. So the statement shows us that the Lord saves people who enter the church, not those on the outside. And while the church is not the Savior, it is the institution in which the Savior saves men. We read in Acts 2, verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Every saved person in the city of Jerusalem was added to the church. And there was not a saved person in all that city that had not been added to the church. And what was true in the city of Jerusalem has throughout the ages been true of every place. The Lord has added to the church everywhere such as should be saved. And if anyone from that time to this time has been saved out of the church, he was saved when he should not have been. But in spite of all these statements, we still hear preachers constantly say that, well, take Christ as your Savior, and you can make the choice as to whether you want the church. But if you've heard your preacher say something like that, please ask him to tell you where it's found in the Bible. Where's the book? Where's the chapter? Where's the verse? And then a third question. Ask your preacher where the Bible says one church is just as good as another. Perhaps no statement has been made by religious people more often than this. On every hand, from the pulpit and the pew, you hear the statement, well, one church is just as good as another. So it really makes no difference which one you belong to, just as long as you're sincere and just as long as you trust the Lord as your Savior. Maybe you've said this yourself. Maybe you've heard your preacher preach it. Then it must be something that both you and he are interested in, and you should want to know just where the Bible makes the statement. I'm not asking too much of you when I ask you to ask your preacher about it. That's what your preacher's for, to tell you where you can find in the Bible the things that he preaches. And so, simply use him. I expect my brethren to use me in this way. They feel free to make such demands of me. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, there's this statement, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." And the one body is the church. In Ephesians 1, verse 22 and verse 23, "God hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So the body is the church. And Paul says there is one body. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," not churches. He's the head of it. And so ask your preacher where he finds Scripture or where he finds some teaching that one church is just as good as another. There's only one church, one body. Well, I invite you to tune in again tomorrow when we'll be looking at some other questions as we study this theme, Ask Your Preacher. For today, my time is gone. I hope you have a very pleasant good afternoon.